I see and feel the power of heavenly throngs this morning as we gather. What a glorious thing it is to be together, to celebrate the resurrection of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Will you pray with me? Most gracious and holy God, in whom resides the power of resurrection, the power to bring life out of death, the power of perfect love that conquers all hate, the power of light that extinguishes all darkness. We gather in your presence today, and as we open our ears and hearts to hear the word proclaimed, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, for you are our rock and our redeemer. Amen. At this point in my life, I like stories that have a happy ending. If I'm going to take the time to read a novel, or if I'm going to pay $12 to go see a movie, by golly, I want it to end well, and I want good closure. I've had a lot of people suggest to me recently that I should watch that show Stranger Things. It's a big hit on Netflix. It's about to start its third season, but I can't do it. I've had too many people say, well, you can't really watch just one episode. You have to binge watch it because it's so suspenseful and every episode ends with a cliffhanger. And maybe I have enough cliffhangers in my life at this point, enough unresolved questions that I just don't want to do that to myself in my free time. And if you're like me and you like stories that have a happy ending and you like good, solid conclusions, then perhaps the Gospel of Mark is one we shouldn't be reading on Easter Sunday. Did you hear how the story ended? Now, I know if you go home and open your Bibles, or if you have your Bibles with you and you open them, you might say, well, wait, there's more to the story here. There are more verses printed in my Bible. And that is true. But most scholars think that those extra verses were added later. You see, we don't have any original copies of the Gospels. What we have are copies of copies of copies. But the oldest manuscripts we have of Mark's Gospel stop at verse 8. So most scholars believe that what we heard was the original ending of Mark's Gospel. And it's a cliffhanger. It really leaves us hanging. And the women said nothing to anyone, for they were afraid. And cut. In the Greek, it's even more awkward. It ends in a conjunction. If we were literally to take word by word, it says, and the women said nothing to anyone. They were afraid for... I mean, back in the first century and early days of the church, people would have heard the gospel spoken out loud. And can you imagine how they felt when the speaker said, and they said nothing to anyone. They were afraid for... Are you kidding me? Is there a part two? I mean, if we were to find a way to live this out in our worship service to demonstrate how it feels, I would have asked the choir in their final hallelujah chorus to sing, hallelujah. It's an unresolved chord. Why does Mark do this to us? What was he thinking? I mean, you have to wonder if it was a mistake. Did he run out of ink? Did he lose the last page? Did something happen? No, I don't think this was an accident. I think Mark very intentionally ended his gospel this way. And even though it may be frustrating and it may feel like a cliffhanger, I think really it is a gift to us. It is a gift that we have four gospels. And they tell the story of Jesus in unique ways. And they have different things that they want to show us about who Jesus was and is. And I think in this ending of Mark's gospel, he's trying to tell us something. So what is the gift in this kind of an ending to Jesus' story? Well, for one thing, it shows us that nobody in Mark's gospel is a hero. One of the fun things about Easter morning sometimes is I get to talk about how the women got it, you know? Peter denied Jesus, Judas betrayed Jesus, the other 10 fled into the night and deserted Jesus, but the women stayed close to the cross. And the women went to the tomb on Sunday morning, and they were the first ones to hear the news, and they were the first ones to preach the good news that Christ was risen. But not in Mark's gospel. Not even the women at the tomb got it right. I mean, it's so ironic. In Mark's gospel especially, throughout Jesus' ministry, he says, "Don't tell anybody who I am." He heals a man with leprosy and says, "Don't tell anyone." And of course, right away, the man goes and tells everyone. He raises a little girl from the dead and he says, "Now don't tell anyone." He heals a man who is deaf and he says to the crowd, "Don't tell anyone." And they tell everybody. And Mark even says, the more Jesus said, "Don't tell," the more they told. And so now here we are on Easter morning, and finally the messenger of God says, "Go and tell." And they don't tell anybody. Nobody gets it in Mark's gospel. And I don't know about you, but that's very reassuring to me. I think many of us come here on Easter morning and we know the story, but we're just not sure we get it. We're not quite sure we can believe it. When those women went to the tomb that day, they knew what to expect. They were going to anoint the dead body of Jesus because death is final. They knew that. That's how it always worked. And we come to worship on Easter Sunday morning, and we know the power of death. We know how final it feels to us. And it's just really hard to believe that anything else could be possible. But in spite of the women's fear and silence, in spite of Peter's denial and Judas's betrayal and the desertion of all the other followers of Jesus, the resurrection happened anyway. The power of life overcame death. God did God's work, whether we were ready or not, whether we could believe it or not. The power of the resurrection doesn't depend on you and me. When the women arrived at the tomb, the risen Christ was already on the move. The messenger said, "He is not here. He's risen. And he's already in Galilee waiting for you. He's already back, moving and at work, where it all started in your daily lives. Go and you'll see him." And that same message is for us. Whether or not we're able or ready to take all of this in yet, we can go back out into the world with our eyes open, and the risen Christ is on the move. We can see those places where peace and justice prevail, where love conquers hate, where people who were enemies find reconciliation and forgiveness, where relationships in our own lives are restored, where the poor are lifted up and treated with dignity. We can go and see. It's not our job to raise Jesus from the dead. It is our job to go and see, and then to go and tell. That's the other thing I think this awkward cliffhanger of an ending does for us in Mark's gospel. It reminds us that the story is not finished. The women said nothing to anyone, for they were afraid. So what's next? Are we afraid? Are we going to tell? Do we continue the story? We know that the women eventually told because we have their story. We know that Peter told. We know that the other disciples told. And what's amazing to me is how they must have told their story. They told first about their failures. Because we know the story about the women They must have said, you know, we went to the tomb and we didn't believe it and we were afraid and we didn't tell anybody for a while. Peter, in telling his story, must have said, you know, on the night that Jesus was arrested, I denied I even knew him. I had three chances and I denied him three times. And the other disciples must have said, you know, we ran off into the night scared out of our wits. And yet he came to us. He showed himself to us. He offered us his love and his peace. And we want to tell you about it. Our lives have been restored to us. Let us tell you about it. And that's how you and I continue the story. You know, my life was pretty broken. But the risen Christ came into my life and poured divine love into me, and now I know how beloved and forgiven I am, and I want you to know that too. You know, my family was a mess, but we started praying together and worshiping together, and we've been restored. You know, this neighborhood was plagued with poverty and violence, but this little group of the people of God came in and began caring for others and doing the work of God, and now look at us. There is story after story after story that we are called to tell. Sometimes with words, but always with our actions. See, that's the beauty of this ending of Mark's gospel. It's not an ending at all. It's a beginning. And you and I are part of it. Thanks be to God.